I'm going to read out of Psalms today, 31, verses 3 through 5, I'm going to start with. And David wrote this psalm, and he writes, "You are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this danger. Pull me from the trap my enemies set for me, for I find protection in you alone. I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God." He says, "I entrust my spirit into your hand." And we later hear Jesus speak those same words when he's hanging on the cross. Jesus cries out to God and he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." So I began to think about God's hands. And I always ask myself, what is it? So what? Now what? And so what? His hands. So what is it about God's hands that we need to realize? And I asked myself, am I in God's hands? Whose hands am I in? Whose hands am I focused on? Because I want to be in God's hands. And God's hands represent some of these things. God's hands are caring. God's hands are loving. God's hands are trusting. God's hands are a sign of security. And God's hands are a sign of protection. So whose hands are you in? And then later he says, "But I'm trusting you, O Lord, saying, you are my God. My future is in your hands." See, he was crying out to God saying, my future is in your hands. No matter what's around me, no matter the enemies are trying to knock me down, they're surrounding me right now, but my future is in your hands, God. Can we say that? Can we say, God, I entrust my spirit to you. God, I trust my future to you. God, I commit all my thoughts and everything that I'm going through. I put those things in your hands. And then I thought of that quote that says, those that leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hand in everything. Leave everything in God's hands, and you will see God's hands in everything that you put in his hands. Amen? Amen. And one way that we can do that, when we're giving everything, our lives over to God, we can give and put our finances in his hands as well. So let's give this morning. There's different ways that you can do that. You can text the City Church NY to 77977. You can download the PushPay app right on your phone. You can give that way. You can go online at thecitychurch.com. Or if you're in-house today, you can grab an envelope, put your offering in the envelope, and there's two mailboxes on your way out. You can just stick the offering right in the mailbox.
Was it? Can you give Pastor Aaron a hand, please? Aren't you glad for her? What a great word last week. Thank you. In our YouVersion app, how many of you are using the YouVersion app? Quite a few of you. The rest of you need to get saved. I'm just teasing. But I encourage you to use the YouVersion app. It breaks the scripture down. You like that, huh, Tommy? Because you're into that YouVersion app. So thankful for those of you that are using it. It's great to do it as a team. How many of you know it's great to do it together? And I'm in Jeremiah right now. I'm moving along in the Bible in a year. YouVersion app's on the screen. Download it. Go to your app store and download the Bible app. And again, in the plans portion, there's something like 100,000 different devotional plans. So instead of buying a devotional book, you can jump right on there for free. They don't charge anything for it. It's a fantastic resource. And this week I read this. And it reminded me of something that I had read prior. And I want to read it to you. It's in Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. It says, and it starts out not so fun, but don't shut me off. Listen to the entire scripture. It says this, verse 5 says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength to turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in the uninhabited salty land." How many of you know that doesn't sound too fun? But I want to read you the rest of it. Here's this promise, and you've heard this type of speech, and Jeremiah is a prophet. He's speaking to God's people. He's speaking on behalf of God to his people. And he continues on in verse 7, and he says this. The Lord speaking through Jeremiah says this. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. And this is something that 'll sound very familiar to you from Psalm 1. It says this. They are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And I'll tell you what, that's some exciting stuff when the word of the Lord comes to you and he says to you, even if you have difficult times, and how many of you know we all have those? Even if you have an issue, even if you have a problem, even if you have a difficulty, when you walk in covenant, when you step into the promises of God, and it's a difficult thing, because when the scripture says, cursed are those who trust in human, what that's saying to you is when you trust in your own money, you're headed in a direction that doesn't yield fruit. What it doesn't mean is that God puts a curse on you, or God, you know, grants you this state of being miserable and empty. It doesn't say that at all. It says based on what you believe and what you practice and how you live your life and who you put your confidence in, when you put your confidence in me, I'll make all things work for the good of them that love me and that are called according to his purposes, and you'll begin to walk out the promises of God for your life. You're like a tree planted by the living water that bears forth fruit. In the scripture, in Psalm 1, it says, in its season, its leaf won't wither. So my encouragement for you, my sharing this scripture in Jeremiah 17 is just to encourage you to walk in the way of the Lord. And I want to say to you, I'm proud of each one of you. Showing up here, it takes effort to come into the Lord's house, to hear his word preached, to be with the saints, to enter into worship and to praise. There's effort involved. That's walking in good counsel. That's walking in the way of the Lord. So this morning, you're about to hear the word. It's going to be sown into your heart. And that's what Jeremiah 17 is speaking of. The word is about to be sown into your spirit, sown into your life. There are practices this morning that you are practicing that makes you flourish. How many of you believe that this morning? So would you this morning, would you welcome your pastor as he comes? Come on, give him a hand.
Yay. Good morning. I hope I can do this okay. I've been watching the Masters here for the last couple weeks. And I mean that. Haven't they just done amazing? Hasn't everybody just done amazing? Come on, let's put our hands together for that. Aren't you thankful for a church that just doesn't have one guy doing everything? It's healthy. I used to have people all the time. I'm telling you, I used to say that if I had Jesus himself come and preach, there would be a few people that would say, well, he was good, but I still rather have you. It's just the way it is. And that's very flattering, but it's not healthy reality. And we need the other voice. You don't need 100 other ones, but it's good to have these great voices in God's house. Pastor Aaron, Pastor Ryan, Pastor Chuck Wood, last Thursday night, Brad T. How many of you just were blessed by Brad T. last Thursday night? Just incredible. Just did a great, great job. And then all the small groups that are happening all out throughout the week are just amazing. You can go on the Facebook page and get the access to all of those. And you want to engage and just connect with a group that'll really minister to you, and it'll be great to you. I didn't say this in the first service, but yesterday I was at the coffee pub hub truck, the big green coffee truck. We had it here one time before. How many of you remember that truck? When was it? Was that here on Father's Day? Yeah. So I called up Ryan, I said, what do you say we get that thing again? So that truck is coming next Sunday. And this is what we're going to do this week, or next week. We're going to pay for everybody's drink that is 60 and older. And for everybody's drink that is, let's go 17 and younger, okay? So all the kids, you get your other kids, whatever you want to get. I took my two youngest grandsons there yesterday. They didn't want anything to drink. I ended up twisting their arm to get a, what is it, a mango smoothie or something? Was that it? And they said it was one of the best drinks they'd ever had. So next Sunday, the truck will be here. Just a great time. Hey, summer is moving. It's August 2nd. Can you believe that? It was yesterday that we were making plans for Christmas. Right, Debbie? And time is moving, so let's just fit as much in as God will allow us. Lord, thank you for your time. Thank you for your word today. Let it be an encouragement to every single heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of, well, I'm just going to share just a few moments this morning, and then we're going to partake of communion together. If you didn't pick up one of those little communion cups, if you'll raise your hand, I know somebody is around here that will get you one of those cups and bring it to you. So if you just raise your hand, you can do that now, or you can wait a little bit, but they'll help you out with that. They're a little different. You got to pray before you start, because getting that little thing off the top of it, that takes Jesus in a mighty way. I'm so glad to see you this morning, and for those of you that are watching at home or wherever you are, let us know where you're watching from this morning, and we're just honored to have you. I want to share this thought with you in just a moment. I'll read a couple scriptures, and I'll explain to you the premise where this came from. And it just so impacted my heart this week that I thought, okay, Lord, you want me to share something on this. So I just threw this, put this title in there, and just call it Why Not Now? And I'll explain that to you in a few minutes. Jesus in Luke 21:34, he said, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. And I couldn't help but think about so many stories that I've heard of so many people that have been, they feel like they've been shut in, and they're doing all of these things. They're weighed down. They're carousing in their own home. They're imbibing on way too much alcohol and other things. And it's creating anxiety in their heart. And he said, be careful, because that day it'll close on you and you'll feel like you're trapped. Because those things are not the answer to your life and to mine. And the Bible says, in Job, he writes in 9:25, my days go by faster than a runner. They fly away without me seeing any joy. Isn't that so true? And sometimes it seems like I lay my head down on the pillow at night and I think, wow, that day went by really fast. And if we're not mindful of the moment and the time that we're in, we'll turn around and another year has gone by and we say like Job, my days go faster than a runner, and they fly away, and I haven't seen any joy. In fact, I've been so fixated on everything else in the culture and the news and trying to keep up with everything. And then not only me trying to keep up with it, it seems like there is this culture phenomenon that's going on, that there is this sector of people that they're not only trying to keep up with everything, but they want you to keep up with everything too. And if you don't keep up with everything, that they are going to tell you about it. And if you reject it or you refuse it in any way, an explosion will take place right in your midst. And God wants you and I to embrace this moment with Him in mind and the blessings that He has for you. And the reality of it is, anything that you think you have an unlimited amount of, that you end up squandering. But anything you feel like you have a limited amount of, you'll use it wisely, like your time and your life. And this message, I told you I'd preface where this came from, this message began in a series of messages that I've been exposed to this week and from a prayer time Wednesday that I engaged in. Monday night in our Bible study that Art and Renee Nicometto lead, it starts at 6:30. You can find it on the Facebook page. All these groups are on Zoom. And he's doing the study from a book by Jensen Franklin called Acres of Diamonds, which I want to tell you, I listened to this book and read it. This is one of the most powerful books and the message in it that I've read in some time. And the first week, he just went through the introduction. And last week, started in the first chapter, and the name of the chapter is Why Not Now? Man, that just sparked such thought and such conversation, and some of the topics in that chapter were thoughts like the power of right now, missed opportunities, start living today. And it reminded me of one of my favorite quotes from Leonard Ravenhill, that the opportunity of a lifetime is seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. Some of you need to write that down, take a picture of it with your phone, because that is so powerful that when you really think about that, that the opportunity of a lifetime is seized in the lifetime of the opportunity, because they keep on going by you. And why not start today? And why not look for that today? And why not engage with God today in what He has for you right now? Instead of waiting for everything to be absolutely perfect. And then, you know, that was Monday night. And then Tuesday morning in Phil Gardner's class, which starts at about 7:15, a men's Bible study, He did an incredible job, and he was reading out of the book of Esther, and it came to that powerful, one of the most intriguing and one of the most amazing scriptures in the entire Bible in Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. Yet who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this? And my goodness, we could talk about that a lot. We could look into that a lot. I've had those moments in my life where I thought, maybe this is the moment that I came into the kingdom. Maybe this is the moment why I got saved. I've thought about all the times that God has given me these incredible opportunities over my life and thinking, maybe this is the moment. Is this the time that God has created me for? I thought about that on one of my first missions trip I ever took to Sao Paulo, Brazil, and I traveled with a gentleman. He's a world-renowned communicator at this day and pastor. And I thought, maybe that was my such a time as this. And then I remember my first trip that I went to Africa. I went to a place called Kisumu, Kenya. And I was just looking on some of my social media how long ago that was. And when I stood in front of a crowd of 3,000 and 4,000 people, and I was preaching the gospel, and people were coming and getting saved, I thought that maybe that was the moment that God had brought me into the kingdom for such a time as this. When we started the church and we moved from our house to the Y, I thought that was such a time as this moment. And then when we moved from the Y into this building, I thought that was such a, maybe that was the moment that God had called me to live out. And then when Patty and I were on the beach in Miami, and I get a call from some well-meaning men say, hey, we think we ought to buy the George Smith Motor Building next door. I said, go ahead. I don't want nothing to do with it. And that's 15 years later with 300 and some thousand put in, and we don't owe a penny on it this day. And I thought, maybe that was the such a time as this. And then throughout the years, traveling to Ireland and France and Indonesia and the Republic of Georgia and Armenia and Costa Rica, I got this map in my office of the world, and I got red pins in it in all the places that I preached around the globe. I think it was Ben that came in and looked at it. He says, well, you better get going. You got a lot more to go. Thinking, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, wow, I thought I've been quite a few places. But when you put it up on the size of the world, it doesn't look like much. And when you put it up on the size of God's kingdom, it looks even smaller. And all of this time, we think that we have come to a place and we think, well, I've done this and now it's over. But who knows that this may be the moment in the middle of coronavirus and COVID-19 that you and I have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. That for something to be powerful, to be released in your life, an opportunity, a dream that maybe you've laid down, a hope that you've given up on, that God says, no, this is just a little moment in your journey, but I am going to reveal and release something so great and so powerful that if you knew it, you couldn't even handle it right now. Maybe this is your moment, because as we read in that book, why not now? Why not now? And then we go to St. Anthony's every Wednesday. St. Anthony's, the sanctuary, is open from 11 to noon. Every Wednesday, 11 to noon. Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, 11 to noon. Every Wednesday, St. Anthony's. You can come in and pray for 5 minutes. You can come in and pray for the hour. I go in there and I put it on social media. If you need prayer for anything, drop your name in here. And over, I'm looking at it this morning, I think there's 285 prayer requests. And I begin to read down them. Because, you know, as pastor, sometimes dad, grandfather, husband, you think, oh, boy, you know, am I really accomplishing anything? And then the reality of it is you just kind of, you get a little low on yourself and you don't think you're what you should be and you don't think of what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, as I start reading these prayer requests of businesses that are in trouble, physical needs of every kind, cancers, marital issues, husbands walking out on their families, a daughter having brain surgery. This one person said that they found out they had pancreatic cancer. One day they're watching Netflix and eating ice cream every night, and the next night their lives are turned upside down. Another man, 57 years old, finds out he has pancreatic cancer and just feels like giving up. I ran his number down. I called him. I spoke into his life. Your life is not over. And as I'm speaking to him, I'm hearing God speak to me. You know, when you give, when you serve, you're not just giving to something. You're serving the Lord, but as you do it, God is filling your tank up at the same time. Come on, say amen to that today. And it drew me to consider this moment, this time, when our world is in such a disarray and many people feel, where is God right now? Where is He? And some have got their attention so bent towards the news and the latest headline that they would miss God bringing an opportunity if it walked right up and slapped them in the face. I want to challenge every one of you today. Watch your time in that. Limit yourself in that. It's not going to change anything because you didn't watch it from the morning moment you woke up into the moment that you went to bed at night. And God wants you and I to begin to step out and to quit worrying about the boundaries that are around us. And live today like maybe it could be our last. The psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And some of us are living our lives like we got plenty of time. And when we're ready to serve the Lord, we'll just, okay, you know, we'll just, yep, now it's time. But I got some things I got to do and I got to get done before I'm going to do that. And God is saying to you and I right now, number your days, because when you do, you get wisdom in that. And some of us are misusing our time at a tragic rate. And it's going, like Job says, it's going faster than a runner. In all of our days, they fly away and we're missing the joy that God wants to give us. And so when he wants to help us to make some adjustments right now, not to when this all goes away. Because how many of you know when this goes away, something else will come? Something else will happen. I'm not prophesying negative, but you and I live in a fallen world. And we need to learn and to adapt and to move forward and to do what God has called us to, regardless of what the world is telling us. For some of us, it's time to refocus on what matters the most. You are made to run and to do lots, but you are not made to do everything for everyone. And when you and I refocus, we will go further. We will accomplish more than we ever have. Refocus. Looking at our life. I want you just to consider looking at the top five things that are important for you. Not the top five things that you're doing. Because many people, their top five things are way off the chart. They're not doing things that are making a difference. But God wants you and I to pause and look at five things in your life and in mine that are important. I hope one of those are relationships. I hope your family is one of those who are important, because your family matters and people matter. And it's August, and I know you can't go on a fancy vacation somewhere, but you could, like my wife's mom, my mother-in-law, told me a long time ago, I'm working morning till night, and all of a sudden she stopped me one day. She says, you know, Marty, you could take Patty for an ice cream cone. And believe me, I've taken her for a lot since that time. Just look at me. When you laugh like that, you hurt my feelings, too. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. But relationships matter. Family matters. Husbands, learn to hold your wife's hand. Wives, learn to hold your husband's hand. Embrace. Engage in that moment. Never take it for granted. People matter. Get into a great group with other people and learn and develop some friendships that will go a lifetime. Ecclesiastes 4:12 in the New Living says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And we need one another, my friends. And Brad said it so eloquently, and we've heard it so many times before on Thursday night. You need to get and find your tribe and get with it and stick with it. And that doesn't mean that everyone is going to be the way you want them to be all the time. Sometimes people get off. Sometimes people say and act off. Am I the only one that does that? Or can you help me out a little bit and quit leaving me up here alone right now? You get off. You act wrong and you say something wrong. That is not the time for you to give up on somebody. That is the time for you to grow up together with them and accept them as family and friends and people that God has put in your life. Amen. Come on today. Because when you grow together, you learn together. You develop together. And you don't wait for someday for everything to be perfect. You and I, we do it now. We refocus because we need to live our lives on purpose and for a purpose. And your life and mine will be the happiest and the most fulfilled when you and I discover what we are called to be and to do. Acts 20:24, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for the finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. Look at part of the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. You and I are called to do that. I had something in my note. I took it out because I thought, yeah, it's just a little sideways. You and I are called to tell others about the grace and the love of God. And each of us has a work to do that we have been assigned to by Jesus. And some of us know what it is, and we have given it up for other things or gotten just too busy. I want to bring you back to the center, refocus you back a little bit today to be and to do what he has covered, called and anointed you and you only to do. And for some of you, you've been going on for years and years, and you say, oh, well, I just don't, you know, I'm waiting for God to show me what to do. Can I tell you how to discover that? You engage in serving. Some people are looking for a pulpit when God wants to put a broom in their hand. And there's nothing wrong with that. I started cleaning toilets. You discover who you are when you begin to serve. Do I need to say that again? You discover who God has called you to be when you begin to serve. My son called me, Ryan, last night. He said, "You got any bee spray?" I go, "Yeah, I'm up to church. I bring it up here." I don't know what he's doing. He's outside. The trash bin on the front of the sidewalk that belongs to the city is so full that it's running over. And here, Pastor Ryan, who's leading up here eloquently in worship and delivering the message, he's out there on Saturday night. And you know what he's doing? He's gaining favor with God. You say, by dumping the trash can? You better believe it. He pulled that trash can out there. There's a mouse running down in there. I mean, it is nasty. All I could think of, God's going to use him in a powerful way. Because when you're not too good to do something dirty, God will use you in a way that you never dreamed that he would use you. Amen. And why not now? This Wednesday, we're going to do the big food giveaway again over at St. Anthony's. You could come. Some of you are able to help with that. You show up at 8 o'clock. Don't show up with the answers. Show up with an open hand. Say, "I'm here to help." And serve. And when you serve, there will be a release in your life. And when you refocus, you can't forget about eternity in the middle of that. The Bible says in James that we live in this life and it's called a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And you can follow me around a little bit, week on and week out. You'll see the amount of people that I either talk to that are dying, the funerals that I do, the homegoings, the people that I talk to. Life is but a vapor. And you're going to spend more time in eternity than you are here. So while you are here, you need to learn to live for it and work for it and give towards it. Because you're going to be there someday if Jesus is the Lord and the Savior of your life. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can be also." I feel like preaching up in here right now. And Jesus said in Matthew 13:44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and he bought the field." That's what eternity is about. You going all in, not tiptoeing through the tulips, but you go all in because he's gone all in for you. And then you and I have to learn to reduce the non-essentials in our lives. Ecclesiastes 4:6, "Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls of toil chasing after the wind." Always, "Oh, I got to go here. I got to do this. I got to go. And all the time you're missing it. You're like Job. Life is moving by at such a fast pace. You don't have any joy in it. The reality of it is, it's better for you to have one handful and to have some peace. And to have some purpose where you can help and evaluate where you are. What do you need to get rid of today? My gosh, when we moved, did I get rid of so much stuff. I never knew a closet could hold as much as I had in the closet in my office at my last house. And then last, reprioritize your life. Order is essential in your life and in mine. Do you hear me? Order is essential. And if you don't prioritize order in your life, listen to this. If you don't, everything and everyone around you will. This may surprise some of you. I don't make appointments with people at night. Some people say, "Wow, I can't believe you're a pastor. You won't see people at night." That is exactly right. That is why 42 years, I'm still married to the blonde over here. Because I make an appointment with her every night. Whew. Get warm up in here right now. You got to reprioritize and keep your life in order because nobody else will do that for you. Because order will also determine the capacity of your life. I was with Pastor Ron Bergio yesterday. We were talking about some of the older folks at Elam, and I said I had this woman from Elam years ago when we were at the Y. I can't remember her name, but she brought in these two glass jars, and she had sand and and marbles. And she said, if you don't have order in your life, and she poured the sand into the one jar and it filled it right up to the top. She went to put the marbles in it and they just fell out. There was no place for them. She said, this is a life that's out of order. It puts other things in before of the main things. Then she took the other jar and she put the marbles in it. She took the same amount of sand and she poured it in the jar and the sand and the marbles fit all together. Why? Because there was order involved. Some of our lives get out of order. And God wants you to keep that and do what's first, because the first has the power to affect the next. Did you hear that? What you do first will have the power to affect the rest. You had the opportunity on the first day of the week, Sunday, to give to the Lord. What you gave, what you do, the decision that you make first will decide what happens the rest of the week with you. Some of you, you just being here today, those of you that are watching online, you making God first place in your life will determine what happens the rest of your week. I could go on this for a while here. When dads you honor in your house, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. When you love your wife first as Christ loved the church, order will come into your home and into your family. I knew I wouldn't get as many amens on that, but it's okay. Just hold still. Nobody will know that maybe I'm talking about you. No, I'm not talking about anybody. Order. Order. Matthew 6:31. Don't worry, say, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, one translation says, the pagans seek after, for your heavenly Father knows what you have need of in all of these things. But what? Seek first, everybody say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. So I want to just say to you today, why not right now? Why not now? You may have come to this moment in your life for such a time as this. This could be your time. This is decision time for many people right now. God is going to bring, had some conversation with individuals this week, monumental decisions in their life, monumental opportunities coming to your life right in the middle of coronavirus. And if I say that to some people, they just shake their head and they say, well, you know, that could never happen to me. Why not now? Why do you say that? Why talk like that? For some of you, your family, I mentioned the one where the individual left their home and left their family. But for some of you, this could be a moment for your family coming together in a stronger way than it's ever come. Say, it's too far gone. It's never too late for God. Don't say it's over until he says it's done with. Because who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for right now. Whew, man, I feel God up in here. Who knows whether this could be your moment and your time? And I want to just say to you, why not now? Why not? Instead of giving up on your dreams, why not right now? Instead of walking away from your hope, why? Why can that not take place right now in your life? Why are we allowing all these outside forces to control what God wants to do on the inside of us? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Guard your heart, because out of it comes what your life will be. Life and death is in the power of how you speak today. If you keep on saying, I can't, it won't, that's impossible, guess what you will have? You will have a garden of I can't, impossible, and I won't. Close your eyes with me this morning. I'm going to pray for you. Then we're going to just partake of communion together. God, open up our lives, our hearts, right now, in this moment, I pray. Have your way. Let this be imprinted in the fabric of every individual's life. I ask today, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Honey, will you come up? If you have your communion, if you get the bread, the wafer out on top, ready. If you did not receive that or get one, wave your hand. One of the guys in the back, they'll bring it to you right now. Anyone, raise your hand. Way over here, Micah. Anyone else? Praise God. This is such an incredible moment for you and I. Just right after hearing God's word, for you and I to recommit and to devote our lives to Him. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says we should examine ourselves, not anybody else. Don't think of other people. Think of you right now. Examine yourselves before you eat the bread and drink from the cup. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for the offering at Calvary that sets men and women free. You said, as often as we eat this, to remember you and what you have done for us. And that we do right now. Let's partake of the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He said, in the same way, the cup, this is the New Testament, my blood that will be poured out for many, as often as you drink it. Remember this. Remember today when you drink this, the sacrifice that He made for you, that you could live in such a time as this. And you could embrace what He has for you. Oh, praise God for that. Lord, for my brothers and sisters, when we partake together, Lord, fill their hearts with purpose. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the cup together. God, I thank you today for working in our hearts and working in our lives. I thank you today that you are Lord of all, and that you are diligently devoted to each and every one of us in particular. I pray, Lord, and I declare over every life, this is their time. This is their moment. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. I love you. Go in God's grace. There's a trash can in the back. You just throw these out in that on your way out. Love on people on your way out from a responsible way. And I'll see you real soon.